Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 7, day 2 of our study of the book of Exodus. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Exodus chapter 26. Well, welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. I am your host, Darren Hibbs, and we're going to be looking at Exodus chapter 26 today. We're going to be looking at how the Lord wants the tabernacle built. Before we jump into that, let's pray before we start today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today, God? Speak to us, fill us, touch our hearts today with who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, with that, let's go ahead and jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Exodus 26, verse 1. Make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of finely twisted linen and blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, with cherubim woven into them by a skilled worker. And the curtains are to be the same size, 28 cubits long and 4 cubits wide. Join 5 of the curtains together and do the same with the other 5. Make loops of blue material along the edge of the end curtain in one set, and do the same with the end curtain in the other set. Make 50 loops on one curtain and 50 loops on the end curtain on the other set, with the loops opposite each other. Then make 50 gold clasps and use them to fasten the curtains together so that the tabernacle is a unit. So what we're talking about here is probably the most expensive and amazingly opulent tent ever built in the history of mankind. And, you know, if you can understand what this is going to look like, it's going to have these kind of poles that are going to go up and then hold other poles that are going to go across, and then the tent curtains are going to hang from there. If you've ever been to a convention, a conference where they have kind of mobile walls built out of curtains, kind of, you know, generally like black curtains, that's generally what we're talking about here. It's going to be tall enough where no one can really see inside it from the outside, but it's going to be made of these really beautiful linens, and the whole thing is going to be made of, you know, dyed animal skins, linen, gold, silver, bronze. This is going to be amazingly opulent, is what this thing is going to be. And, you know, there's lots of resources about this on the internet. You can go and find artist depictions of this. We don't know exactly what this looked like because, you know, we don't have pictures of it. And the artisans who are going to create this, the craftsmen that created this, they're going to take what Moses is telling them, and Moses probably personally had a lot more clarity on the design than what we're able to see in basically the Reader's Digest version of this here in Scripture. And so, you know, the craftsmen are going to take Moses' instructions, and they're going to do it with kind of their flair, just like any craftsman would. No two craftsmen, without, you know, a very detailed set of plans of exactly how everything is supposed to look, no two craftsmen are going to build this exactly the same. So no, when you do look this up on the internet and look up pictures of this, it's not going to be exactly what it looked like, but it's going to be close. Close enough for you to get an overall image in your head of what it was. Verse 7. Make curtains of goat hair for the tent over the tabernacle, 11 together. All 11 curtains are to be the same size, 30 cubits long and 4 cubits wide. Join 5 of the curtains together into one set and the other 6 into another set. Fold the 6th curtain double at the front of the tent. Make 50 loops along the edge of the end curtain in one set and also along the edge of the end curtain in the other set. Then make 50 bronze clasps and put them in the loops to fasten the tent together as a unit. As for the additional length of the tent curtains, the half additional length of the tent curtains, the half curtain that is left over is to hang down at the rear of the tabernacle. The tent curtains will be a cubit longer on both sides. What is left will hang over the sides of the tabernacle so as to cover it. Make for the tent a covering of ram skins dyed red, and over that a covering of the other durable leather. Make upright, verse 15, make upright frames of acacia wood for the tabernacle. Each frame is to be 10 cubits long and a cubit and a half wide, with two projections set parallel to each other. Make all the frames of the tabernacle in this way. Make 20 frames for the south side of the tabernacle and make 40 silver bases to go under them, two bases for each frame, one under each projection. For the other side, the north side of the tabernacle, make 20 frames and the 40 silver bases, two under each frame. Make six frames for the far end, that is the west end of the tabernacle, and make two frames for the corners at the far end. At these two corners, they must be double from the bottom all the way to the top and fitted into a single ring. Both shall be like that. So there will be 8 frames and 16 silver bases, 2 under each frame. Again, this is just a really fabulous, opulent tent made out of really nice materials, but this whole thing is designed to be mobile. It's designed to be broken down and carried. And I can't imagine the amount of work that's going to go into setting this thing up, you know, whenever they get somewhere, staying for whatever number of days or weeks or months, and then having to tear it down and load everything back up and then carry it. Most of the things in the tabernacle are not supposed to be put on carts. Most of the things are supposed to be carried. There's poles in all of the furniture, at least, to be carried, the ark, the table, all of these things. They have to go on people's shoulders to be hoisted. So this is a really big deal. It's a lot of work, and it's really opulent, and it's very heavy because gold is going to overlay all of this acacia wood that they're building it out of. So, I mean, and it's not small. It's not like they're building this out of toothpicks. I mean, we're talking the poles and things like that are, you know, probably maybe an inch around or even bigger. And then they're hammering gold, a very heavy, beautiful and expensive, but heavy metal on the outside of that. So this is all, it all weighs a ton. And we know that these curtains were not light either. I mean, these things are all very opulent and very heavy. All right, verse 26. Also make crossbars of acacia wood, 5 for the frames on one side of the tabernacle, 5 for those on the other side, and 5 for the frames on the west and the far end of the tabernacle. The center crossbar is to extend from end to end at the middle of the frames. Overlay the frames with gold and make gold rings to hold the crossbars. Also overlay the crossbars with gold. Set up the tabernacle according to the plan shown you on the mountain. Now I love this part right here. Moses has this otherworldly, heavenly-ish experience when he goes up onto the Mount Sinai. When he takes the 70 elders and Aaron and Hur and Joshua, it says that they all walk over this ground that turns into this like lapis lazuli, this deep blue floor. And this is walking into the courts of heaven or something. I mean, they're going somewhere else besides this mountain. And we know what the mountains in this region look like, and they don't look like this. They don't look like this lapis lazuli, this beautiful blue, crystal blue floor. And so we're told that they're entering into something else other than just Mount Sinai. Now, all of the elders leave that place and go back down the mountain. Moses continues on and sends up. And so he's in this other than place. He's somewhere else. And how that works, I don't understand. I don't know anybody that does, but he's there with God. And God is showing him something. And I don't understand if he's showing him literal plans, like he's got his own heavenly blueprints, or if there's some kind of model or something that Moses sees in the heavenly courts of God that he's understanding he's going to pattern this after. We know that David saw something similar when he hands the plans to Solomon and says, you know, these are the plans that I got from God. This is what the Lord showed me. We know that he went somewhere to get them. The Lord showed him something. And so, you know, the same thing here is the Lord has taken many people throughout Scripture to this place where they have seen some aspect of what's going on in heaven. And the tabernacle and later the temple is going to be an earthly rendition of what's going on in the heavenly courts of God. And so I'm so fascinated by looking at all these things and trying to understand what is this representing in the presence of God. It is so fascinating. I pray that you will be fascinated by this as well as you read through this book. And I encourage you to read through Exodus once a week for 10 weeks. I guarantee you that you'll find something new to be fascinated by every time or two through it. God's word is so beautiful in that way. All right, continuing on. Verse 31. Make a curtain of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn in finely twisted linen with cherubim woven into it by a skilled worker. Hang it with gold hooks on 4 posts of acacia wood overlaid with gold and standing on 4 silver bases. Hang the curtain from the clasps and place the Ark of the Covenant law behind the curtain. The curtain will separate the holy place from the most holy place. Put the atonement cover on the Ark of the Covenant Law in the most holy place. Place the table outside the curtain on the north side of the tabernacle and put the lampstand opposite it on the south side. For the entrance to the tent, make a curtain of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and finely twisted linen, the work of an embroiderer. Make gold hooks for this curtain and 5 posts of acacia wood overlaid with gold, and cast 5 bronze bases for them. This must have been a sight. You know, the pattern here that we've got the holy place and the most holy place is just like the temple, and it's this drawing closer to God. It gets holier and holier as we draw closer to Him. We know now that veil that was in the temple, it's been torn. We have access to that most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. But there is this awesome and terrifying thing of drawing closer to our Creator. This is the place where the Lord said He would descend and meet with the people. And there is a holiness, a reverence, a fascination, and a fear that comes with drawing close to that place. We get to experience all of those things, but we get to come boldly to that place because, and only because, our sins have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus. It makes all the difference in the world to us. The Lord made these people a spectacle as they're wandering around through the desert for the next 40 years. They've got this ridiculously opulent tent that's the place where they meet with their deity that has no image of Him. There's nothing there that represents Him. There's only a tent where they go in and they sacrifice to Him and they meet with Him. And then they pick it up and they carry it. And imagine that if you're one of these Bedouins or someone who's standing on a mountainside watching these, you know, 2 million or whatever people march through the valleys down below, in the center of all of them, you're going to see all of these beautiful curtains and skins and gold-plated boxes and poles and bases all covered with gold and silver and bronze. Imagine the reflection of all this in the sunlight as they're marching around the desert for the next 40 years. People are on looking and saying, what is that thing and who are these people? The Lord wanted to make them a spectacle with these things. And this is going to be the object and the center of their worship. Not the object of their worship. God is the object of their worship. That's why there is no image of Him anywhere in this. But it's going to be the center of their worship for the next several hundred years. People are going to come to them and say, you don't have a temple. You don't have an image. What is it that you worship? I'm intrigued by this. I think that's what the Lord wanted. He wanted them to be this holy and set apart people that when people happen upon them and say, you're very different, very strange. What is it about this? Why do you do things this way? I think the same is to be true of us today. We are a holy and a set apart people, those that claim the name of Jesus. We are to look different. And it doesn't mean we have to just be up in your face all the time, trying as hard as we can just to look different, just for the sake of looking different. That's not what the Lord's called us to. He's called us to a holy life, one where we live differently because something has transformed on the inside of us. We're not just trying to look weird for the sake of weird, but the Lord has called us to look different for a purpose. And what often happens is really there's one of two main responses. It could be others, but two main responses are, ooh, I don't like you. You force me to feel things I don't like, so I reject you and I hate you and I persecute you to some level. You know, anywhere from just not liking you and saying mean things about you to actually, you know, torturing you and killing you, to there's something different about you. What is it? I want to know. I'm fascinated by it. I want what you have. Holiness brings about those two reactions, and there's probably a host of reactions in between, but that's who the Lord has made us to be, a holy people carrying a tent in the middle of the desert. That's the end of chapter 26, and for the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs. I can't wait to see you next time.